ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ लेट् अस् लुक् इन् टु ऋग्वेद शान्तिपाठः विच् वि जस्ट् स्टार्टेड् यस्टर्डे. The swaras are marked there, so you can follow that. Om Vang me manase pratishthita.
Vang me manase pratishthita.
Vang me manase pratishthita.
Vang
me manase pratishthita. मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम्
मनो मे वाचि
प्रतिष्ठितम् मनो मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम्
मनो
मे वाचि प्रतिष्ठितम् आविराविर्म एधि आविराविर्म एधि आविराविर्म एधि
आविराविर्म एधि
वेदस्य माणिस्थः
वेदस्य
माणिस्थः वेदस्य माणिस्थः माणिस्थः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहसीः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहसीः श्रुतं मे मा प्रहसीः अनेनाधीते नाहोरात्रन्
अनेनाधीते
नाहोरात्रन् अनेनाधीते अनेनाधीते नाहोरात्रान्
अनेनाधीते
नाहोरात्रान् संदधामि संदधामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि
ऋतं वदिष्यामि
ऋतं वदिष्यामि
ऋतं वदिष्यामि
सत्यं वदिष्यामि
सत्यं वदिष्यामि
सत्यं वदिष्यामि
सत्यं वदिष्यामि
तन्मामवतु
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 तद्वक्तारमवतु
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 अवतु माम्
अवतु माम्
अवतु माम्
अवतु माम्
अवतु वक्तारमवतु वक्तारम्
अवतु वक्तारम् अवतु वक्तारम्
अवतु माम्
अवतु माम्
अवतु वक्तारम्
अवतु वक्तारम्
avato vaktaram
avato vaktaram
avato avato vaktaram avato vaktaram
avato vaktaram
avato vaktaram om shanti shanti shanti
om shanti shanti shanti
I said yesterday the shanti paatha the shanti mantra is recited for the elimination of obstacles arising from all different sources and shanti paatha also has prayers for the well-being of physical and the subtle body. The physical body and the subtle body in terms of mind, senses, everything must be in good condition in order to be able to study, understand, grasp, retain and assimilate. Therefore the prayer is also for the protection of the entire body, mind, is complex so that the knowledge can be pursued without any obstacles and knowledge can be attained and the benefit of knowledge also can be enjoyed. And here as a first prayer we saw here, of course any shanti paataha, there is a prayer for physical, emotional well-being. And here also we have the prayer. First we pray for the protection of the mind, as they talked about the absolute protection and relative protection. Of course, the entire study of the Shastram is ultimately for the absolute protection in terms of the attainment of knowledge. So the absolute protection of the mind is the absolute protection in terms of the attainment of the knowledge of the truth, which itself is moksha, and which is the accomplishment of the ultimate end and which makes this life meaningful, complete and successful. Therefore here the prayer is also for what? Relative protection of the mind, relative protection of everything. Relative protection implies living one's life in conformity with dharma, and living one's life in conformity with dharma implies living a life of karma yoga. And which implies, so here, which means always the right thinking must be there, then there is always, in the mind, there is knowledge of right and wrong. That's why we are all blessed with knowledge of right and wrong, the buddhi. And our actions must be in conformity with our knowledge of right and wrong. Our actions should not go against our own knowledge of right and wrong. That is when we say right action and wrong action. The actions are in conformity with our knowledge of right and wrong, then we call that action right action. Then the phalam is called phalam, the fruit of that action is punyam, punya phalam. If the actions go against our knowledge of right and wrong, then we say they are wrong actions, the result will be papam. And here, so that way, vang me manasi pratishthita. So may my speech be in conformity with my mind, means may my speech be in conformity with my knowledge of right and wrong. Not only physical activities, even the oral activity, the speech be in alignment with my knowledge of right and wrong. So the right and wrong in terms of speech implies taking care of certain aspects. And we understand that from other textbooks such as Bhagavad Gita, what are those aspects which you have to take care of? in order to be right in terms of speech, whatever we speak must be the satyam, the truth. Which means we have to avoid lies, telling lies. That is implied. The speech must be truth means lies have to be avoided. That's understood. Satyam. And even if we speak the truths, all that we speak must be the truth, but we need not speak all the truths we know also. Which means the truth which we speak also should be hitam. It must be beneficial. It must be useful. Either the listener or the speaker must benefit from the communication that happens between the conversation happens between the two people. Hitam, it must be priyam. Satyam, hitam, priyam. And what is spoken may be the truth, may be beneficial also sometimes for you, but if it is apriyam, unpleasant, if it will result in hurt, it should be avoided. It must be priyam. It must be something pleasing, desirable, it must be enjoyable for other person, for priyam. The speech must be satyam, priyam, hitam. Above all, there should not be any udvegaha in one's expression. Udvegaha means what is communicated can cause the disturbance on the part of the other person. Mental agitation part of the person, the hurt. So the speech must be non-hurtful, non-injurious, non-hurting. That's why we say hitam, priyam, anudvegakaram. It should not be udvegakaram. There should not be udvegaha in one's speech. If we remember these aspects during our communication, then definitely your speech is kept in check. The quality of what you communicate, what you express, can be maintained. Which means then the knowledge of right and wrong is really, the speech will be in conformity with your knowledge of right and wrong. How can my communication, my expression of speech be in conformity with my knowledge of right and wrong? If we follow these four aspects, remember these four aspects, then definitely your speech can be in conformity with your knowledge of right and wrong. That's the prayer, your first prayer.
Vang me manase pratishthita. Vang me manase pratishthita.
Definitely there is an alignment between what I speak and what I know as right and wrong, what I think. Not only that, here in Sanskrit language, you have to look into the beauty of Sanskrit language. Now, I'm very happy that all of you had attended Sanskrit classes this afternoon. Sanskrit language is said to be the most expressive language and the artificial intelligence, the most suitable language for computers also. This has been discussed and discovered, and then we had big conference even 1986. When I was studying in Bangalore long, long ago in Sringeri Shankaramat. The big conference. One Swami Paramananda Bharati, who was basically he is a PSP, he is 6 PhD, and he became a pontiff for that Bangalore Mutt, and he organized the big program, and a lot of computer scientists had come by 1986. I was learning the spelling of the word computer. It was a big thing, and we all participated and helped and all as college students. Now what I'm saying, this computer, Sanskrit is the most expressive of all the languages. Of course, every language is for expressing one's, conveying one's ideas and thoughts. Every language is expressive, but Sanskrit is most expressive. If we ask, how do we say that most expressive? Most expressive means expressing one's, conveying one's ideas properly, appropriately, involving, remembering even all these four aspects I said, for which we have the Shastrams. There is a scripture of words, the scripture of sentences, and the scripture of logics. We have this. That's why we have Shabda Shastram, we say the Pada Shastram. You know what is Pada Shastram? In no other language, you call the grammar. Of course, the grammar is studied everywhere. But in Pada Shastram, if you say Vyakaranam. Pada Shastrajnaha, any Vyakaranaha, any grammarian is said to be what? No, Pada Shastrajnaha. He knows the words, he knows the roots, he knows the prefixes, he knows the affixes, he knows the pratyayas, he knows how to form, coin a verb, noun, a participle, from the root, and the addition of prefixes, how they change the meanings. All that the person knows of Vyakaranaha, Vyakarana Shastrajnaha. So the Vyakaranam is called Padashastram. What is Padashastram for? The Vyakaran, the knowledge of grammar always should help us to choose the appropriate words for appropriate communication in a given context. Where I speak, how I speak, how much I speak, when I speak, whom I speak to, considering all these things, in which context I'm speaking, everything, if you have to use appropriate words, and you need knowledge of the appropriate choice of words for which we have Vyakaranam, Padashastra. Even though you don't need Padashastra Jnanam, and you don't need the knowledge of grammar for the day-to-day life. In day-to-day life, anything, the whole life is in fact, all the time we are communicating with other people. There you have to remember only these four aspects. Satyam, what I speak must be Satyam. What I speak must be Priyam, pleasing, pleasant words. Even something you have to say, sometimes you have to get something done. You have to be very assertive. Even then, the words can be expressed softly, nicely, maybe Priyam. The Satyam, Priyam, Hitam, it must be useful, beneficial for the person who speaks and for the listener, either for the listener or for the speaker. For Priyam, Hitam, definitely Anudvegakaram, non-hurtful also. That we can remember. Otherwise, suppose if there are representatives, and the people, the market executives, all of them, people who have to go and meet people and talk the whole life. No, the life itself, the very business is dependent on my communication and what I talk, how I explain. That is there. And definitely, one has to remember all these things also. What I speak must be very clear. Very clear, ambiguity-free, confusion-free, clear expression. There, which means, that's why we, in Sanskritam, we have this, Pramana Shastram. Now, what is Pramana Shastram? Pramana Shastram is simply logic, Tarka Shastram. Tarka Shastram also is there. I'm not saying you all study Tarka Shastram to be good communicator, I'm not saying that. But how, I want to tell you about the expressive, why Sanskritam is most expressive language, because everything is taken care of. So not only that, how you express yourself, not only this ambiguity-free, confusion-free, clear expression, and what express must serve the purpose, it is purposeful also. So if it has to be purposeful, it should It should contribute for the purpose. Any communication must contribute for the purpose. If communication means, then definitely there is a shastra for that also. We have Vakya Shastram, which is called Mimamsa. Thoroughly analyzed, very, you are very clear, so express it Mimamsa. So Pada Shastram, Pramana Shastram and Vakya Shastram. Vyakaranam, Tarkaha and also Mimamsa. These three are not necessary for us for day-to-day conversation, for day-to-day communication, day-to-day life. But I'm just simply adding this, how this Sanskrit language is expressive because of everything, because everything is taken care of in that language. Very, that's why Samyak Kritam, Sanskritam, refined language. Anyway, that's a different thing. But here what I want to say, Vang me manasi pratishthita. So may all I communicate, may all my words, all my speech be in alignment, in conformity with my thinking, my knowledge of right and wrong.
Mano me vache pratishthitam. Mano me vache pratishthitam.
Similarly, manaha me manaha vachi pratishthitam, which means when I communicate, may my mind be in my speech. Mind backing the speech implies my speech, I don't mechanically speak anything. I speak anything I utter consciously, prudently, carefully, in keeping with where I speak, what I speak, how I speak, how much I speak, whom I speak to. Considering all these things when I speak, I am very conscious. That conscious utterance, conscious communication is called what now? Mind backing one's speech. That's what I said, mano me vachi pratishtitam. May my attention be in what I speak. Mind is elsewhere, not in vachi. Vachi manaha nasti. Mind is elsewhere and mechanically tongue speaks something. Then that is when we go wrong. Sometimes we unknowingly, unnecessarily, we may hurt. Then we say what? Sorry, I did not mean. We have to mean what we speak. We can't afford. No. That's why this is what we have to mean what we speak, and we speak what we mean. That's what is emphasized by repeating it, say putting it differently.
Mano meva che pratishthitam. Meva che pratishthitam.
So repeatedly when we say Vang me manase pratishthitam, Vang me manase pratishthita, Mano meva che pratishthitam. Now when you say that, the pratishthitam means make totally, the pratishtha, the word implies the mind being totally with the act of speaking, isn't it? In the sense, the oral activity. And so the words being in conformity with one's thinking. That is emphasized. Again, you all should remember what is prayer. Prayer is a will-involved auto-suggestion. That is why when you repeat it, it works. You don't mechanically repeat the sentences. Knowing the value of what you pray for, when you desperately pray, definitely the prayer works. You will have the benefit. That is why Vang me manase pratishthita, mano me vache pratishthitam. So once you remember the four aspects and communicate, and consciously when you speak also, definitely your oral activity will not transgress the values, universal values. That's the main thing. So with that, next. So by only by not transgressing the values even in speech, not only in physical activity, even in speech, very important, by not transgressing universal values, then you are in conform, your speech is in conformity with dharma, the oral activity is in conformity with dharma. That is how you can tap Bhagavan's rays. That is how you can have relative protection. Next one.
Aviravirmaedhi.
Here we have to change some words, the position. Split the word there. Avihi. The word avihi. We split avihi. Avirmaedhi. That word avihi means prakashah, jnanaswarupah. Avihi implies, literally it means prakashah, but it implies jnanaswarupah or jnanam, jnanarupah. So avihi implies Bhagavan, Ishwarah. The Lord who is of the nature of pure knowledge, whose swarupam is jnanam, nothing but jnanam, is implied by the term avihi, oli vadivinan, prakasha swarupaha Bhagavan. It's called avihi, Ishwaraha, the Lord. What, who is the Lord? You all know very well. The truth of the whole is what actually jnanam. Therefore, the swarupam, Ishwara swarupam kim? Jnanam. You already know Jiva Swarupam also Jnana. Here one who is of the nature of knowledge is what? Jnana Swarupaha Bhagavan. So Avihi here means Jnana Swarupaha Bhagavan. The Lord who is of the nature of knowledge is implied by the term, the one who is of the nature of effulgence is Avihi. Then if we take the next word, Avihi, that Avihi you have to, you know, combine with the word Edhi. Edhi. Aviredhi. Aviredhi. If you connect it, Avihi Edhi, Aviredhi. So Aviredhi means Avirbhavati. Aviredhi, Avirbhava. So avirbhavati means appears. Avirbhavati. Avirbhavati means appears. So avirbhava means appear. Aviredhi means appear. So it's an imperative word. So may appear. For whom? May. May the Lord, who is of the nature of knowledge, who is of the nature of effulgence, appear for me. What does it mean? How can Lord appear? The Lord is always shining. The one who he never disappears, for the Lord to appear newly. The one who does not disappear, cannot appear also. So here, even though literally it means appear, what it means is, may the Lord's Swarupam be revealed to me as my own Swarupam. Avir avirma edhi means aviredhi. Avihi may aviredhi. This is the sentence formation. Avihi may aviredhi. May Lord appear to me. Appear in front of me. What does it mean? Cannot appear in front of you. Cannot appear for you, because when does Lord disappear for you, him to appear? Therefore, what it implies is, the implied meaning of the sentence is, may the Swarupam of Ishwara, Bhagavan, be revealed to me as my own Swarupam, that we had to supply. Okay? It's not there. May Bhagavat Swarupam become revealed to me as my own Swarupam. மத் சுரூபத்வேன பகவத் ஸ்வரூபம் பிரகாசிதம் பவது. தட் இஸ் த மீனிங். இட் மீன்ஸ் வாட் இஸ் தட் நவ் பகவான் ஆல்வேஸ் ஷைன்ஸ். வாட் ஷைன்ஸ் ஒன்லி பகவான் ஆல்வேஸ் ஷைன்ஸ், விச் மீன்ஸ் ஐ டு நாட் ரெக்கக்னைஸ், ஐ எம் நாட் ஏபிள் டு சீ பகவத் ஸ்வரூபம், விச் மீன்ஸ் தேர்ஸ் அ வெயில் ஆஃப் இக்னோரன்ஸ். பிஃபோர் மே த லார்ட் ரிமூவ் தி வெயில் ஆஃப் இக்னோரன்ஸ், bless me with the knowledge of the truth, there be reveal, remove the veil of ignorance. May Bhagavan bless me with the vision of his swarupam as my own swarupam. May Bhagavan bless me with the knowledge of the truth. This is the final meaning. This is the prayer.
Avira virmayedhi.
Because light is something, once you open your eyes, you cannot prevent the light from shining for you. Similarly, even though Bhagavan is of the nature of self-effulgence, still you are not able to recognize Bhagavan Swarupam being the effulgence. May Bhagavan, who is of the nature of self-effulgence, reveal, bless me with the vision of his Swarupam. Bless me with the knowledge. Remove the veil of ignorance. Ajnanam nivartayatu. Jnanam prakashayatu. That's the simple meaning.
Aviravirmayedhi.
Next. Vedasya maani
Vedasya maani istha.
So here we are addressing the mind and the speech again. What should the mind do? What should the words do? The words and the mind, the speech and the mind should bless us with what? What should they do? They should be conducive. They should be helpful in getting us the wisdom. To help us attaining wisdom. Help us attainment of wisdom. So here the prayer is, O mind, O speech, may you both be staha. You don't find the words. You don't find speech and mind, okay? You have to know that. And one more thing you have to remember, you can ask, how do you say all these things? What I have heard from Swamiji, I am telling you. Which means, how did Swamiji say? Yes, teacher must have told him. But how did he would have told you, how do you think that he would have got from his teacher? There were commentators who would have written the meaning of these mantras. But definitely, Shankara Bhagavad Pada never wrote the commentary on the Shanti Pathas. The commentaries on the Shanti Mantras are all from other commentators. So from that, they must have got it. So here if we understand, kasthaha. Now, asti, staha, stha. And when you say this asti, staha, santi, and within asti, staha, stha, asmi, vaha, maha. Remember all those things? Dhanama remembers. I'm very happy about it. Very long, many years ago, I taught her. Anyway, so staha, second person, asi, staha, stha. So, ani, staha. May, O mind and speech, may you both be. What should you be? You must be those two who bring the knowledge, the subject matter of the Shastram, Veda Shastram. Vedasya Vishaya Anetaraha, Aneta Bhava. Hey Manaha, O mind, may you be the Veda Vishaya Aneta. May you be the one who brings the subject matter of the Veda, the wisdom of the Veda, the truth of the Veda, the subject to me. O speech may be the one who brings the wisdom of the Veda to me. So how do you get this? Staha, anihi. If you say this anihi, you must all know the word root ni, nayati, anayati, with the prefix a, anayati. So nayati carries, takes, anayati brings. And yaha anayati saha anihi. Ikarantaha pullingaha ani shabdaha. You know, that's a divachane, pratama, he said anihi. Anihi, ani, anayaha. Get the word like this. Anihi, ani, anayaha. In dual form. So, ani, 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 anayaha. So, ani, staha. The one who brings is called anihi. If you tell you again, the one who brings is called anihi. Kondu varihiravar. The one who brings. So ani again, those two who bring ani. So here, may you both be those who bring what? The wisdom obtaining in the Veda. Vedasya vastu jnanam anihi staha. May you be those two, may you be those two who bring the Vedic wisdom to me. Vedasya jnanam anihi anihi anistaha. Anistaha. Not anihi, okay? Anistaha. So ma should be taken as me. Me to me.
Shrutam me ma prahasihi. Shrutam mema prahasihi.
So even the previous verse, when you say, when you pray to the mind and the speech, you say, may you both be the messengers of the wisdom, knowledge to me. What does it mean? May the mind be conducive, may the speech be conducive, the words be conducive, that I get the Vedic wisdom. The wisdom obtaining in Veda, the Vedic vision should become my vision. That's the meaning. Next.
Shrutam mema prahasihi. Shrutam mema prahasihi.
So prahasihi. Prahasihi means what? Remove. Take away. Make it disappear. That's the meaning. Ma prahasihi, may you not remove, may you not take away, may it not go away. What should not go away from me? Shrutam. So the Shastram has been being heard. So whatever has been heard, what is being heard? Shrutam, all that subject matter of the Shastram, the Shravanam which has been done, no, should be remembered, retained, then assimilated, ascertained. If it comes in, it goes out. If it enters in through one ear, it goes out through other ear, means nothing remains, no, ascertained. Nothing can be assimilated. So the retention is very important. What is retained must be assimilated also. Therefore here, Shrutam me ma prahasihi. May you not take away, may see that nothing that has been heard goes away from me. It remains in me, it becomes assimilated in me, it becomes me. Isn't it? That's the meaning.
Shrutam mema prahasihi. Shrutam mema prahasihi. Anena dhitena ho ratran sandadhami. Naho ratran sandadhami. Anena dhite naho ratran sandadhami. Anena dhite naho ratran sandadhami.
So here, now adhitam, you know, all of you know, adhita is a past passive participle, learnt, studied. So, Anena adhitena. By this, whatever has been studied, learnt, understood, and retained by that, adhitena, ahoratran sandadhami. Ahoratri. Ahaha means day, ratrihi means night, and ahoratra means day and night. Ahoratran plural form. So may all my nights and days, what I am doing? Sandadhami. What do? I dwell upon. Dadhami, sandadhami. Where do you come across this word? Every time in Gita class, when you chant the first verse, you cannot forget anusandadhami. Anu. There again, anu also you can add here. You don't add here, but you can add. In fact, that's how you have to remember. Dadhami, place. Sandadhami, place well, carefully, attentively, totally, with focus, attention, I place. What do you place? My mind. Placing my attention. Sandhanam. Sandhanam, anusandhanam. Isn't it? So, sandadhami, I carefully place the attention of my mind. So, carefully focusing on attention is called what? Dhyanam. Isn't it? So, I always dwell upon day, always means how it is always day and night. Whenever I am awake, only when I fall asleep, I cannot. In sleep, you can't meditate. You have to be awake to be meditative, to be contemplative, isn't it? So, he's whenever I am awake, day and night, whenever I keep awake, I dwell upon, constantly I dwell upon whatever I have studied. Anena adhitena ahoratran sandadhami. I spend all my days and nights dwelling upon the Shastra teaching that I have studied. Adhitena. Nato anavashyaka sambhashanena. Anavashyaka vishayena. Adhitena vishayena sandadhami. I dwell upon what I have studied, which means my attention of my mind is not available for anything other than Shastram, subject matter of the Shastram. It is really, it is emphasized for every Vedanta student. What should I be thinking of when I am not able to sleep? What should I be thinking of? Or when I keep awake, what I should be thinking of? When I have nothing else, nothing important to do, what should I be thinking of? What should my mind do? Mind cannot keep quiet. If you are awake, nothing else to do, the mind cannot keep quiet. That is why that is the problem of the mind. So whenever I am awake, day or night, always mind's attention must be only in the subject matter of the Shastram. All the time, attention must be in the teaching, Vedanta teaching. That's why not simply what you have studied, what you have read. Adhitena, what has been carefully studied with the help of the teacher systematically, regularly. Not simply you have read some translations somewhere, some other books you have read, some quotations you have read. Not that. Adhitam. Adhita means adhyayanam kritam. Adhyayana means definitely you have studied the Shastram systematically, carefully with the help of the teacher as unfolded by the teacher. The Shastra's vision which has become the teacher's vision which has become now your vision. Isn't it? Shastra's vision obtaining in the form of the teacher's vision through communication which has become your vision. Now that is the teaching. Isn't it? That is adhitam. And then now where do you place your attention? Now you place your attention in what has been clearly understood. Which means the nididhyasanam, the contemplation is emphasized here. Which means for contemplation you do not require the teacher. The teacher, adhitam implies already you have done shravanam and mananam with the help of the teacher. is adhita, learned. Participle implies what? Learned well, properly, with the help of the teacher. The sampradaya vidha, sampradaya vidaha, guroho adhitam. What has been studied from the teacher who knows the method of unfoldment, who is Brahma, who is Brahmanishta, who is Shrotriyaha, or who is Sampradaya Vite, from that guru, from the teacher, what you have learnt correctly, appropriately, what you have also understood, that is what Adhitam here. Therefore, the Shravanam you do with the help of the teacher, Mananam you have done with the help of the teacher, then now this Sandhanam, Anusandhanam, you do it by yourself. You cannot, there is no Shravanam. Shravanam means there is a teacher, there must be teacher. Mananam, there is a teacher again. But for contemplation, contemplation is already, you have doubt-free, clear knowledge, which you have already attained through Shravanam and Mananam, which, with the help of the teacher. Now for assimilation, ascertainment, you are dwelling upon, you are contemplate, you have to contemplate upon without the teacher. Therefore, how do you spend your time, all your time, days and nights, dwelling upon the clear, doubt-free knowledge which you have, but you have to ascertain, which you have attained through Shravanam and Mananam. So this also emphasizes what? You must please do Shravanam, please do Mananam, then you do Nididhyasanam. No, that is the meaning. Therefore, there is no such thing called meditation without Shravanam and Mananam. Doesn't make any sense. So, adhitena, anena adhitena sandadami. Anadhitam katam sandhanam. How is it possible for you to dwell upon, contemplate upon, meditate upon the truth without having done any Shravanam? Understand? So, lots of things are revealed in this one sentence. Adhite, anena adhitena. Ahoratran sandadhami. So I dwell upon constantly subject matter of the Shastram, which I have clearly understood through Shravanam and Mananam with the help of the teacher. Again, repetition of this sentence also is what? Auto-suggestion for you. It's a prayer. Ritam vadishyami. Ritam vadishyami. So, Rutam Vadishyami. Because there is no imperative here. Just you tell yourself. So, Rutam Vadishyami. The word Rutam here, even though it literally means the truth here, the subject matter of the Shastram. What is the subject matter of the Shastram? The absolute reality, the ultimate truth, Brahma Chaitanyam. So, whatever I speak, I shall speak only the truth. Whatever I speak will be in conformity with the teaching. I speak only what the Shastram teaches. I will not speak anything which is not uttered by the Shastram. If Shastram says Mokshaha, if Shastra makes me understand clearly, Moksha being the Parama Purushartha, I say, how Moksha is the Parama Purushartha? How Moksha is the absolute, ultimate, choiceless end? If Moksha says, knowledge is the only means of the attainment of that Moksha, I understand that fact, and I also say what? Is knowledge is the only means of attainment of the Moksha. You need not do any meditation, you need not do any upasana, you need not do any karma, you need not do any rituals, you need not do any prayer and worship for moksha. For moksha, all that you need is only jnanam, the perspective change. Isn't it? The cognitive shift. So therefore, jnana eva kaivalya means knowledge being the only means of moksha. If Shastram says, I say the same thing. What I say will not be different from what I have understood and what is, no, what is, it must be in conformity with the teaching I got from my teacher, which is in conformity with the Shastram. Isn't it? The Rutam. And if that does not mean, I will not say karma is useless, I will not say meditation is useless, I will not say japam is useless, I will not say anything else is useless, but I will also know how the advantages of karma, upasanam, bhakti, the prayer, the worship, you know, dharma, the usefulness, the importance of dharma, importance of all of them, the necessity, I understand all of them, advantages, at the same time I also understand the limitations, and that is what I speak. So for the sake of earning money, for the sake of pleasing people, or for the sake of, you know, satisfying the society, I will never compromise with what the Shastram says. I shall speak only the truth, which means the facts revealed by the Shastram, which are true to my understanding also. Rutam vadishyami. Just because I should not lose the people who have come all the way from, you know, here, they have come somehow, we should grab them, we have to organize, so we should, let us say, yeah, meditation is good, meditation is okay. Do Rama Japam, it is enough. Okay, people like it. So we won't do that. Whatever it is, of course, Rama Japam is very good, meditation is very, very important, karma is very, very important, service is very, very important, but that is not required for knowledge. All those things contribute for preparing our mind for jnanam. Without those things, there's no way of becoming ready for knowledge. Mental purity, mental steadiness cannot be accomplished without the karma, but that is not required for moksha. Jnanameva alam, isn't it? Therefore, the order involved in the attainment of knowledge as revealed by the Shastram, I will definitely speak. I shall speak the truth. Rutam vadishyami. That is Rutam vadishyami. Then Satyam vadishyami. Satyam vadishyami. Then I will, my words will be the words of, definitely I speak the truth. Satyam vadishyami. Ritam vadishyami, ritam vadishyami, satyam vadishyami,
satyam vadishyami,
ritam vadishyami,
ritam vadishyami,
satyam vadishyami,
satyam vadishyami.
Tanmamavatu. Here Tan again, Tan means Tad, Tad stands for Ishvara, is Bhagavan, is it? Sagunam Brahma, Saguna Ishvaraha, may Bhagavan protect me, Tad Mam Avatu. How can Bhagavan protect me? May Bhagavan protect me, mean when you say in the context of studying Shastram, may Bhagavan protect me, how? By blessing me with the capacity to understand the teaching correctly. The teacher says something, I understand something, and there's always possible, there's a possibility of having wrong understanding, misunderstanding, incorrect understanding. That is why very important, may Bhagavan bless me with the sharpness of intellect that I understand what was communicated in the class correctly. That's how, may Bhagavan bless me with the right understanding of the teaching, thereby may Bhagavan protect me. Mam avatu. I seek Bhagavan's, like, go and sit in the class, I do listen, I do understand, but there should not be doubt whether I understand correctly or not. I should be able to understand correctly. That's what he, that Bhagavan, may Bhagavan protect me with blessing me, with, may Bhagavan bless me with the right understanding, then may Bhagavan protect me. Tadvaktaramavatu.
Tadvaktaramavatu.
So here, we do not know who is the teacher, go and sit in front of the teacher. So may Bhagavan protect the speaker, the teacher. How? May Bhagavan bless the teacher also with the good health, you know, and the good communicating skill and expressing. May Bhagavan bless the teacher with the clarity of thought and communication. Thereby, may Bhagavan protect the teacher also. So that I will benefit. That's the meaning.
Tadvaktaramavato, avatumam.
It's only repetition. Repetition is always for emphasizing what you convey. So whatever is conveyed through this prayer, it becomes what? To make it emphasized, repetition.
Avatu mam, avatu mam, avatu vaktaram, avatu vaktaram. Vaktaram, avatu vaktaram.
You all know this, lot lakaraha, mam avatu, may Bhagavan protect me. Avatu vaktaram, again vakta, vach, dhatuhu, drikaranta shabdaha. So, Rikaranta, in due, second case, what? Ekavachane Vaktaram iti rupam. So, Vaktaram, may Bhagavan protect the speaker, the teacher.
Avato Vaktaram, Avato Vaktaram. Avato Vaktaram, Avato Vaktaram. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
See, in the translation you find the word Brahman, but even though it is not wrong, the Brahman does not mean Nirgunam Brahma, Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma means Ishwaraha, the Lord. No, definitely very well, we never say, may Nirgunam Brahma protect me. Because in Nirgunam Brahma there is no teacher taught, Bhaktaha, Ishwara, Veda is not there. It's only Ishwara. May the Lord protect, the Lord in the form of universal, the one who is in the form of the whole, one who is of universal law and order, protect me and the teacher. So that there can be appropriate teaching, appropriate understanding, appropriate communication. Therefore, that the benefit of teaching will happen and will enjoy the benefit of the knowledge I attain through the teaching. This is the Shanti Mantra. Let us just chant once and we'll go to the Upanishad part.
Om Vang Me Manase Pratishthita. Mano me vache pratishthitam, avir maedhi vedasya maani istha, shrutam me ma prahasihi, anenadhitena horatran sandadhami. Ritam vadishyami, satyam vadishyami, tanmamavatu, tadvaktaramavatu, avatu mam, avatu vaktaram, avatu vaktaram. Om shanti shanti shanti.
Om.
Om.
The first sentence of the Upanishad. Atma va.
Atma va.
You all can even write down. Atma va.
Atma va.
Idam.
Idam.
Eka.
Eka.
Evagra.
Evagra.
Asit. Atmava idam
eka
eva agre asit. Actually in the mantra this is not agre asit, agra asit. एवाग्र आसीत् सो आत्मा वा इदम् एक एव अग्रे आसीत् The first word you hear is what? Atma. Now first you hear Om, Pranava Shabdaha, Pranavaha, Om. Anything has to be begun with the Omkaraha to make it auspicious. The auspicious utterance has to be there in the very beginning to make everything auspicious, isn't it? So Om. I'm sure Omkaraha is Pranavaha. Omkaraha is also called Pranavaha. And I taught you the meaning of Pranavaha. Hope you remember that. Why Om is Pranavaha? Om. How do we say that Omkaraha is an auspicious utterance? You all simply say because it's a sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. One of the names of the Lord, Om. The Om itself is sound symbol of the Lord. Lord the whole. It is called Pranavaha. What does the word Pranavaha mean? The word Navaha, Navaha. Tatha dadha na. Dental na. Nakara. Na. Navaha means name, nama. Hope you remember that meaning, what I told in the class, in Mandukya class, remember? Anyway, so Navaha means name. Simply any name, Roger, Navaha, it's one name, Navaha. Tilaka, one Navaha. Simply, Gita, one Navaha. But what's a unique name? Book, specs, if you say Navaha. The one word, one name indicates only one object. Isn't it? One word can indicate only one object. Therefore, Navaha means a simple, any simple term, a word, a name, which can indicate a given object. One word cannot indicate more than one object. Specs means specs can indicate only one object called specs. Not mic, not this, not a fruit, not a book, not the room, not the hall, not anything else. It can indicate only one object. It has the limitation. This is Navaha. But Pra plus Navaha becomes Pranavaha. The dental Nakara becomes cerebral Nakara. Pranavaha becomes Pranavaha. Why? Because why the Navaha means that by which something is arrived at, something is revealed, is called Navaha. Anena nuyate iti Navaha. Anena nuyate iti Navaha. That by which something is arrived at is called what? Navaha. But that by which uniquely the whole is arrived at is Pranavaha. Prakarshena nuyate anena iti Pranavaha. That by which, by one word, by which the whole becomes indicated. That by which, by one word, the whole, the entire, the totality of objects becomes, all the objects become indicated by one word. Om means everything can be indicated by the word Om. What is that? You can say Om. That is Om. That is Om. This is Om. Every one of you I can say Om, 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 Om. I can say. That one word by which the whole, the entire cosmos can be indicated. Is it? That is why Prakarshena Nuyate Anena Iti Pranavaha. That's why we say what? In fact, it's the meaning of the word Vishwam. In Vishnu Sarasranama, the first word Vishwam, Vividaihi Pratyaihi Gamyam Iti Vishwam. That, you know, which is indicated, is that which is the constitute of the innumerably, that the innumerable countless objects indicated by innumerable countless words is Vishnu, the whole. So the Om stands for the whole. Everything that is here is Om. Therefore Om. That is why it's Bhagavan Nama. It is Ishvara Nama. Therefore, beginning the Upanishad with the Omkara is what an auspicious beginning. Om. Atma va.
Atma va.
Idam.
Idam.
Ekayeva.
Ekayeva.
Agre asit.
Agre asit.
So the word Atma is introduced here. So the subject matter of the entire Upanishad is the Atma. The absolute reality, the ultimate truth, obtaining as the truth of everyone, every individual, obtaining as the innermost essence of everyone is implied by the term Atma, which is the subject matter of the entire Upanishad, which is to be finally what is to be understood, what is to be arrived at is the Atma. Therefore, that the main content, main teaching of the Upanishad is introduced in the very beginning. Is it? So, Atma. Atma. Asit. Asit was. Atma was. What is now now? Atma was before. Now what is now here? Is Atma now here or not? Atma was before means, is Atma here now or not? Atma was before, Atma is now also, but in the form of the universe, in the form of the cosmos. How do you say, what is cosmos here? The entire universe, the perceptible universe. Drishyamana prapancha rupena Atma asti. In the form of the perceptible universe, experienced universe, in the form of the universe which obtains now, which is available for objectification, experienced now right in front of us, is what? That universe, Atma alone, now is in the form of this universe. This universe, what is the word there? Idam. Idam. Atma, which was before, is now in the form of this universe which is experienced, which is perceived, which is perceptible. Idam Atma Asit. Idam Agre Asit. Atma Ekam Ekaha. Atma Ekaha Eva Agre Asit. Now the same Atma is in the form of this universe. You know, Atma was, Atma now is, in the form of the universe. Before it was, now it is. Atma was, Atma is. What is conveyed here, only introducing today, what is conveyed here is, there is no difference between the universe and the Atma. There's no difference. Universe is non-different, non-separate from the Atma. In fact, universe is inseparable from the Atma. Universe is inseparable from the Atma. So Atma alone is in the form of the universe. It's like saying, there is a pot. Now I'm seeing the pot in front of me, right in front of me. If there's a pot now, what was before? The clay. The clay which was before, now continues to be there in the form of the pot. Which means clay, there's no disappearance of the clay. The clay was before, the clay still continues to be in the form of the pot. Similarly, Atma was before, now Atma is in the form of the universe. Which means Atma was, Atma is, now we have to add Atma will ever be. The difference is only the time. The difference between the universe and the Atma is just the time. Really speaking, the universe is non-different, non-separate, inseparable from the Atma. What is what that Atma is? We'll come back and see. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.